I want to share a story with you. After every week, Philip sends the elders the songs that he's been praying about and hymns. And when he sent this list last week, and it had Go Tell It on the Mountains. And if you were here last week, that was the closing of my message, Go Tell It on the Mountains. And so I just kind of smiled, but Go Tell It on the Mountain has a completely different meaning in my life now. Because last week, as my nephew was here with us for the week, and at the end of the message, we talked about Go Tell It on the Mountain. And as I shared with you last week that I was going to take Chase to work with me on Monday, and we went to work, and we had a pile of stuff to do. And one of the things we had to do was I organized a Christmas gifting to the adult handicapped people at JCARC, their clients that they had, and they made Christmas list out, and I called and guilted pastors around this community I volunteered them, I guess. And they bought Christmas gifts, and so Chase and I went around and gathered all the gifts and delivered these gifts. And there were four clients that didn't get gifts. So I said to Chase, we've got to go to Walmart and take their list and buy them. So he was all excited. And I said, you know, maybe when we get done, I'll take you to eat. He loves Zaxby's. And I'll take you to eat lunch at Zaxby's. And so my nephew was with me, some of you who don't know, my nephew has autism. And so he was with me, and as we were going to Walmart, Chase said, Uncle Brandon, are we going to go tell it on the mountain today? And I said, yes, sir, we are. I said, Uncle Brandon, we share Jesus with everybody we're around, period. That's just how it goes. That's how all Christians should be. So as we were going to, I didn't know how his brain and my brain work. So as we're in Walmart, he kept going, hey, go tell it on the mountain. And I was like, right here. And the guy's standing there. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going. And I bet by the time we got out of Walmart, we had talked to 20 people about Jesus. I was like, Lord, forgive me, but can you stop, Chase? Because I didn't want to say, son, we got to get these gifts, and because that's why we were there. And it was person after person. I mean, we were in the checkout line, and he was like, hey, Uncle Brandon, go tell it on the mountain. And I was like, I finally was like, son, when are you going to go tell it on the mountain? So we share, I even picked up some gifts at, I'm going to just share one name and one person because I know he won't mind it. I even picked up gifts at Trinity Baptist, and the pastor was the only one there. And Chase made me share Jesus with the pastor at Trinity Baptist Church. And I mean, like, he wouldn't, like, it's not, hey, God bless you, have a good day. It's pray with them, talk to them. No buffer at all. So we were in Zaxby's and eating, and Chase said, "Uncle Brian, can we go tell her on the mountain right here?" And I was, and if y'all have been in Zaxby's at lunchtime, y'all understand what I'm about to say. And I sat there and I thought, well, Griffin, put your money where your mouth is. And he sat there and was like, "Can we just do this?" And I sat there and I said, "Son, we can." And he said, "I mean, let's just stand up right now." And I said, "We can, but Chase, they may not understand our hearts. And they may not be bad people, but they may not understand. And they may judge, you know, and just think we're crazy and leave." And he was like, "I don't care." And he was like, "It doesn't matter. Go do it." And I said, "I'll tell you what. Let's do like what we did at Walmart." And he goes, "Okay." And I said, "You tell me, you look around. Is there somebody in here that you feel like that we should go share Jesus with?" He looked around and looked around. And he's like, "Yep, her." I was like, "Oh, a lady by herself, sitting by herself, and we're two dudes." And I was like, "Lord, really?" And you know, we went over there to talk to her, and she just started weeping. Go tell it on the mountain, right? And do we really believe that Jesus Christ was born? Do we really believe that? So all week we had an experience. I'm sure my mom got tired of it sometime because it was every day it was on now. I mean, we had to go tell it on the mountain with somebody. But praise the Lord, right? So we come to the table, to this gift that the Lord has given us. And in this gift, it is right for us to do it on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. This is right. And the church has been doing this for centuries. And as you guys have heard me, many of you have heard me talk about this. This is just a cross section of the greater Passover meal that the Jews or Orthodox Jews even to this day participate in. And it was during this Passover meal that Jesus came to the third cup. There's five cups that are drank from during the Passover meal. And he comes to the third cup, and it's the cup of redemption. And at this cup, during the Passover meal, was when the Lord, in the upper room that night, was when the Lord stopped and redefined and said, "This cup you now take in remembrance of me. This is the cup of redemption." And he redefined it, and they took it. And so through the centuries, the early church, they started taking the Lord's Supper together. And it's part of this greater meal, but redefined. And so this is important for us to do. This is one of the ordinances that the Lord has given the church to participate in for many vital reasons. Many reasons that are important. And as I was, by the way, Ethan is, he prepared the table today for us. Ethan Draham, he is going to start doing this. And I'm not doing it anymore. Kim, she made the bread for us today. So So what a blessing. Amen. And so we come to this table. And as I was explaining to Ethan why we cover the Lord's table, I thought, I don't think I've ever told our people why this is done traditionally. Why the covering? Why do we do this? It represents our Lord's death and burial in the grave, where he was wrapped and clothed. And then when the cloth is removed, it's representative of him coming out of the grave. There's meaning behind all of these things, but the Lord's Supper has been forgotten and really trampled on and taken very lightly. That's why we announce when we do it, we give people plenty of time to work through things in their lives. And so as we come to this table, there are some important things that we need to know. And this is going to be way shorter than what I did earlier with the candles. So let's pray, and then let me share some things, and let's take the Lord's Supper together. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, for the songs of praise, for lighting the candles and the scripture that constantly points to you and reminds us of how we should live rightly before people for your honor and glory. Lord, for the time that we can bow our head in prayer and for you to hear. Lord, we come to this point where we, for just a moment, pause and look at your scripture. Teach us and grow us in our faith. Grant us repentance. Lord, we can't even repent unless you show us and lead us and reveal to us. And Lord, even give us the grace to repent. We can't even do that. So Lord, thank you for your word, your spirit, your body of believers, for Jesus, for his sacrifice. And Lord, as we celebrate his first coming, as a church, we confess openly, Lord, we long for his second coming, for him to come again and make all things right. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Do this work in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the vital importance. The first thing is it's a chance for us to experience revival. Personal revival, and revival is the body of Christ. And the reason being is because when we do what the Scripture says and examine our hearts and ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts and ask the Lord for forgiveness, when we go through the act of repenting, that is revival. And so this is an opportunity, a chance for us to experience revival. Another important, importance of this table, this ordinance, is that it's a chance for us to experience unity together. This table, this ordinance, is for the family. It's for believers. This is not a table for unbelievers. This is for the believers in Christ, for us to come together as a family, together, committed to unify around the table, to say, this is what we believe. We believe in Jesus. We believe that he has come and died on the cross for our sins. This is what we proclaim. This is the gospel. It's a chance for unity. No fussing, right? No fighting. No bitterness, no animosity, nobody angry with anybody else, right? You come to this table, we're all one family, and we do it together. It's a chance for unity. It's also a vital chance. What's vital is the call for us to make a recommitment, for you to come forward and partake of the bread and the juice. You are recommitting your life again to Jesus. You are saying, Lord, you're Lord of my life. I believe this. You are the center of my life, and you're recommitting your life again to Jesus. That's why it's important for us to go through self-examination. That's part of the reason why we announce it, so that you guys can work through whatever you've got to work through as much as you can, that you can have self-examination and repent of things in your life, so you can run to this table and recommit your life again anew today. Right? It's also a time, as you know, for us to remember what the Lord has done. That He's died for us. That His body hung on the cross and was broken for us. And that His blood was spilled for you and I to cover our sins. To remember that. So let's read this passage. And now I'm going to make a couple more points, and then we're going to partake of the supper. Starting in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says this: For I, this is the Apostle Paul writing, and if you remember, Paul called himself an apostle of undue time, that he came to know the Lord, you remember, on the Damascus Road, and it was after the Lord's death, burial, resurrection. I mean, he was an apostle plucked out at undue time. And he said, For I received from the Lord. So this is something that the Lord personally spoke, resurrected Lord, to the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. So listen. He is delivering this to you and I even today in these words that the Holy Spirit has gifted to deliver to us today, protected and held them for you and I today. So let's see. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink it, eat this bread and drink this cup. You proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lamb. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But if we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So he's talking to believers here. and he's discussing the manner of taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, which this is the worthy manner. To self-examine yourself. To be able to sit down and go through things in your life and go through your heart and do a self-examination. Judge yourself. And even if you do come and take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, it says in here that the Lord will be faithful to chastise you. He will correct you and I. If you're His children, He's going to be a good dad. And so when He's talking about an unworthy manner, He's not talking about your personal heart. Because believe me, if you had to wait until you were worthy, you would never take the Lord's Supper. Because no one is. But it's the Lord's grace in your life. It's His mercy. It's Him calling you into relationship with Him. It's you being one of His children. And though imperfect as we are, us coming to this table and receiving this gift and reminding ourselves and recommitting and unifying ourselves with a body together and doing these things that honor Him, in doing this, you are taking it in a worthy way. And so that's what this passage means. That's what He's calling us to do, to not just take it flippantly, to not just say, oh, it's the Lord's Supper, I'm a believer, and go in ollie ollie income free, right? But feel the gravity, feel the weight of repentance. Remember what Christ has done. Remember what He is doing in your life. Remember these things and remember those around you. Look, this is the family of God. As broken and bruised and tattered as we are, this is His family, right? For us to come, for us to take this table, partake of this table, it is an honor. And I want to encourage you guys that are here with young children, hold your children back from this table. Use it as an evangelistic tool until they have made a public profession of faith. Use it. I hope you have those awkward conversations at home, driving home. Mom, Dad, why can't I take the Lord's Supper? Well, son, because you're a pagan and you need Jesus. Now, you don't have to do it like that. You can say, because your heart's black. No, you don't have to say that. But to use it as an opportunity of conversation about have they surrendered to Jesus. And I'll tell you this, your children will long. They won't be able to wait to come to this table. And isn't that how it should be? So use it rightly. And so we come this morning, this Christmas Eve morning, to celebrate the Lord and His coming to us to save us from our sins. Amen. So as normal, what we are going to do, Richard is going to have the bread on this side, and I'm going to have the juice on this side. And when you are ready, you take your time, and when you're ready, you come forward and take the bread. And then when you come over to the juice, just dunk it a little bit. Listen, No Oreo dunks. Okay? Just dunk it a little bit, and then you partake of it. And sit down and wait till we're all done. Okay? Because when we're all done, then we're going to sing the doxology. We're going to pray together, and we're going to sing the doxology together. And then we're going to enjoy a breakfast or lunch together, a brunch together. Amen? And listen, I just, as a note, I'm not making, this is as much sausage gravy as I could make. I had a pot full of it. So if it's gone on this one, that's all, that we're maxed out on sausage gravy. I love you guys. Let's celebrate the Lord's birth, His death, and Him coming again. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank You for the privilege to be able to come to this table, that You have done a work of salvation in us, that we were not smart enough. We didn't figure it out ourselves. Lord, it wasn't that we even sat back and said, hey, this is a good choice over this. Lord, You did such a work of grace in our lives. We couldn't choose anything else but You. Lord, help us to remember what You've done, the life You've lived, the sin that You bore, and that You are coming back. Help us to recommit again and anew to You. Lord, You know every heart here. Grant repentance. Do a work that honors You most, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.